Good afternoon. This show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. And on the program today, we do have a local performance we're going to talk about, but really we're going to be talking about the history of the organization that is hosting that performance. It's the Tuesday Morning Musical Club, an organization founded 100 years ago this coming October by some women in Champaign-Urbana who had the idea that they ought to somehow get together and do something musical, and that is giving it the shortest possible shrift as to what they thought they wanted to do, and they may not even have known exactly at the time. But they're going to be hosting their annual spring guest program tomorrow evening. Actually, I don't know the time, come to think of it. Afternoon.
10 in the morning.
10 in the morning. That was a question I didn't ask ahead of time. Tomorrow morning. The usual time, in other words, for the Tuesday Morning Musical Club. That's logical enough, at Clark Lindsay Village in Urbana. And we have with us a number of members of the club, including some who've been with the group for a long time, some for not very long at all, and some in between, I guess. And so I'll just kind of go around the room as they're seated in front of me or around me. And make some introductions. Well, not quite in order. You heard the voice just a moment ago of the current president of the organization, Lois Gullerud, who is the longtime principal violist of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra. That's how I know you as, anyway.
Associate principal now.
Right. But long time before you became associate. Yeah.
I had a chance.
Yeah, you had the chance. Yeah. And Len Rose Jael. Been with the group for a long time. You have an instrument. Piano. Terry Marr, I know, is a bassoonist. Amanda Pond, a flutist, is going to be playing for us as well. And Lois Palin is cellist. Sun Young Gemma Shin is a violinist. All three of those are going to be playing for us coming up. And we have two other pianists in the room. And also one of them, composer Christina Engberg, is going to play for us. And we're going to hear a piece of hers. And also Joelle de Vilbis, a pianist, who I happen to know best of anybody in this room, really. I mean, I know you better than I know anybody else in this room, just because I've known you longer through, as she's director of the Conservatory of Central Illinois in downtown Champaign. So thanks, everybody, for coming in.
Thank you.
Who gets the nod for the first comment on the history? I mean, I said, okay, so these ladies thought they'd get together and do something musical, but there was more to it than that, surely.
Well, I think in some ways we have the anti-nepotism rule of the state of Illinois to thank for some of the longevity of this group. Sometime around 1906 or 1907, due to corruption in the state,
What a surprise.
What a surprise. The state passed a law that if a member of a family was employed by a state agency, another member of the family could not be employed by the state agency. And the effect it had on Champaign-Urbana was that if your husband taught at the University of Illinois, you, the wife, could not teach at the University of Illinois. And here we were stuck in the middle of nowhere. The president of the university at the time even said, for better or worse, the state in its wisdom stuck us in the middle of the cornfields. And, you know, the wives of a lot of professors who came here were really accomplished musicians who were used to living in cities like Chicago and New York and San Francisco, and where they had opportunities to perform and teach and actually did teach at the college level. And then they came here, and because of the anti-nepotism rules, could not teach. And so it just so happened at a certain time in 1914, these women got together, and one of them had been in a club called the Tuesday Morning Musicale in Lincoln, Nebraska, where she was on the faculty of the University of Nebraska before moving here. And one of them was the wife of the new head of the Military Science Department and commandant of the Infantry Division, and she was used to creating clubs and running them as an Army wife. One of the founding members had been hosting what were called gala musical soirees at her house for several years. And they were all private teachers because that's all they could do. And they decided to form a club that you had to audition to get into. And the goal was to improve, you know, everybody's musical abilities and to provide music for the community. And that's how it happened, and that's what's been going on for 100 years.
And to give credit to those women, I have it listed here, which I think is in the archives, the University of Illinois, Mrs. Ann, did she say it, Angel or Angle? Anybody know, Webster?
Well, nobody was around at the time.
Nobody was around? Well, I thought it might have got passed down in lore. Mrs. Susie Young Fay, Mrs. Lena Marshall, Mrs. Harriet Blair Ward, and Mrs. Mary Norris Paul. So, of course, things have changed, and we wouldn't necessarily put the Mrs. in front. We would just say who you are. Although, I guess at one point or another, I understand reading somewhere that it would have been Mrs. Ernest Gullerud, for example.
True.
You wouldn't even have rated a first name.
Until about 1965.
Until 1965.
Well, even later, because we have the husband's name in our list of presidents for a long while. And I remember there was a discussion about some ladies didn't want their husband's name being the prominent one. But it was a decision within the club as to whether or not it was going to be a first name basis or being known as the spouse.
And I imagine there were some that didn't want to change the tradition.
True.
As always happens.
Very true.
Well, before we talk any more about it, and there's lots to say because 100 years is a long time. We do have a number of pieces of live music and some recorded music that we thought we'd share during the course of the hour today. Beginning with one of the piano pieces that we mentioned, Chris Engberg. Going to do some music by a fellow named Ignaz Paderewski, Polish composer, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And a pianist. Was he one of these flamboyant
Yes, he was show-offs? The concert pianist of his era. Traveled all over Europe and became the premier of Poland at a point. And he was politically involved as well. So very interesting person.
So Poland has a history of artistic types taking over as president. I think. Or I'm getting mixed up with the Czechs, aren't I? Václav Havel, the poet and playwright. Yeah. Never mind about that.
Yeah, apparently he was sort of like president of the Polish government in exile during World War II as well. I read that last night. I was just looking at his history a little bit. So
you wanted to be prepared for today.
Well, I tried. I don't know how accurate my information is, but it was like, wow. Interesting.
And you got farther along than I did. I just gave completely inaccurate information, period. All right, well, this is a minuet in G.
Right. One of the reasons why I picked this is because it's what we're calling a historical piece for our club. We had compiled this list of pieces. Ann Hylas actually was the one who compiled the list for the first 20 years, the pieces that had been performed by members of the club. And this was on the list. And the reason why I chose it is because it was one of those pieces that was just considered so popular in the early part of the 20th century, and we don't really hear it that much anymore.
Well, then it'll be a treat to hear it right now.
I hope.
Live on Live and Local. Thank you. Christina Engberg playing music by Ignaz Paderewski, a minuet in G, performed here live in our studio on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Chris is a member of the Tuesday Morning Musical Club based in Champaign-Urbana, which is celebrating 100 years this coming October. So this is their 100th anniversary season, I guess, that's going on right now. They meet every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Not every...
Every 2 weeks.
See, I should get my facts straight here. But that's why you all are here every 2 weeks.
Ten o'clock
in the morning on Tuesdays. And so their next meeting is tomorrow with their spring guest program that's going to be at Clark Lindsay Village in Urbana. What does that mean? This is an annual event, spring guest program.
Guests are invited to come and hear what some of the pieces that have been played through the year. This final program is a composite of some of the best things that were performed during the year, and we'd like to share them. So people are invited to come and hear.
So talk a little bit about what the purpose of the group, how the purpose has evolved. I mean, I know that you have performances every meeting. I assume you have performances every meeting.
Oh, yes.
But was that always the case?
Yes.
The idea, this is a performance club, which is why from the very beginning, entrance of the club has been by audition. It's not a social club. You know, people don't just walk in off the street to attend. The idea is to perform and continue to improve our performances. And that hasn't changed. The one thing that has changed is that it was also considered like a music study club, either for a year or for a particular program. From the beginning, they would pick a theme, and all the pieces on that particular program or that year would have to be about that theme. And so there would be themes like, rarely does politics enter our club, but in 1918, they decided that they would have works by the Glorious Allied Nations of World War I. There was a program in the 20s of all Chinese music, which some of it was seemed to be written by some Chinese composers, but a lot of it was by Western composers that sounded sort of Chinese. There was one that was Jewish and synagogue music, but there were a lot like Italian art songs or German classical sonatas. And it wouldn't just be playing the pieces. Somebody would also give a small talk about that particular genre. That sort of stopped in the 60s or 70s, I believe, and now...
Which part stopped? The theme?
The theme, and now whatever people want to play, we just go ahead and program it. So that's about the only big change, but it's always been performance.
Who are our longest-serving members here? Lois, Lenrose, perhaps?
Lenrose.
I have 58 years.
58 years in the group? Right. What are some of the significant... changes that you have noticed since you've been
actually
around?
The protocols are a lot more relaxed now than they used to be. In the old days, two members would go as a committee to visit the new member and acquaint her of her responsibilities towards the club, which included probably playing three times a year and attending meetings, and so that you can be part of the audience as well as part of the performing things and so on. And I think people dress much more casually now. I would not have dreamed of going to one of the older meetings in jeans and a T-shirt, for example. But now it's not what you wear, it's how you sound that matters. Also, we didn't give scholarships in the old days. I think some years back there was an opportunity when we played, when members of the club played at a funeral for Julia Little, who was a prominent member of the community as well as a wonderful member of our club and one of the charter members. And her family donated $200 to start. And I was president at that time, I thought it was a great idea to buy some CDs, which were being heavily promoted at that time and had very high rates of interest. And we borrowed money from the club, and we managed to buy five CDs, which we stuck in the bank in Springfield or somewhere and forgot about until it could produce enough to provide scholarships. And now we're able to give scholarships. We had one, I think, from the Memorial Fund, but it was small and didn't get fed very much.
So scholarships have been given for to whom?
How many? Oh, 10 years, 12 years. I don't know how long the scholarships have been given.
We've been giving a scholarship to the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra. Yeah. I found over the years, in the 70s, a scholarship was given for 2 or 3 years to what was called an underprivileged high school student who to whom had been donated a piano and they needed money to tune it and move it, and then for a few years after that to take lessons. And then in the 1980s, there was a high school student at the Cunningham Children's Home to whom we gave a scholarship so that she could study with Ollie Watts Davis, who was actually a member of the club at the time. And I think that's the extent of scholarships. We've all, when four of our members created an organization, a group, a playing group called the Arcadia Chamber Players. About 2 or 3 years into their existence, they started a chamber music competition for high school students. And we supplied prize money for a few years for that.
Had a chance to judge that a couple of times. That was a good thing. And Arcadia Chamber Players currently on hiatus. Hopefully they will resume at some point.
Because one of their members, we have members who have had international impact in this club, and one of the founding members of that group, Marina Antline, is one of them. 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, she moved to Yaoundé, Cameroon, the capital of Cameroon, where she started the first band program at the international school. And it's apparently quite popular.
I would hope so, and I'm sure if she teaches it, it should be pretty effective.
Yeah, that's why Arcadia Chamber Players is on hiatus.
The Tuesday Morning Musical Club are represented by a number of women here with us on the program today. It is live and local, which is your connection to local performances, and they're the performance to which I guess anyone is invited tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock at Clark Lindsay Village in Urbana. Their regular meeting is, the second and fourth? Or is it basically every other Tuesday? Our broadcast here on Live and Local today is made possible with the support of the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. We've got some more live. I'm sorry?
As long as you're mentioning the Sousa Archives, the first Sousa archivist was a member of the Tuesday Morning Musical Club, Phyllis Danner.
Oh, well then. Yes, of course. As these things come up, feel free to chime in. We're going to have a couple of other live performances here in a few minutes, but since we had Chris Engberg play for us live, we also have a couple of recorded performances, both of which are of newer pieces. This is a piece of hers with really quite a wonderful title. Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
Well, it's called As a Woman Thinketh, and it's based off of a book that was given to my grandfather back in 1915 called As a Man Thinketh. He was born in 1890, so he was already well into being into manhood. The book itself was published in 1902, but given that the year that it was given to him, and it took me a while to do some research to figure out when the book was actually published, it correlated with the beginning of our club, kind of that time. And I was reading through it, and a lot of text made me think that, wow, you know, these are the kind of things that women want to be thinking about as well. And so I found some of the, there's a little bit of poetry sprinkled throughout the book. It's like a self-help type of book. And it was very easy to convert it to a woman's point of view. I found out after I wrote the piece, and I was doing one more research trying to figure out when the book was originally published. I didn't do it or find it the first time around. And then suddenly all of these titles, As a Woman Thinketh, is coming up online. Apparently, I wasn't the only one who had the idea of doing a conversion, and the entire book has actually been published from the point of view of a woman. It's just changing out the pronouns and things like that. But in any case, I had started out composing an abstract piece, and I just started realizing that really what I wanted to do because this was for the club and for the 100th anniversary, I wanted to make something that was more personal for the women's club, and so I chose to include the text with it. And so it has a fanfare at the beginning for an ensemble. Part of what was requested of me was to include as many of the members as I could. And there are 8 instrumentalists. And then we have a vocalist on the recording who is not a member. She is a guest. Her name is Miranda Rowland. And she is a soprano. And so we were, you know, graced with her presence and joining in the recording as well. So for the recording, we had, 2 rehearsals, I think? Something like that. You know, which is when we try to get that many people together with our busy schedules, it's a little bit difficult. But in any case, that's what it was about.
I think I have the list of all the performers. One of them is in the room. Mary Chapman and Amanda Pond were playing flute in this, and Sonny Chu on oboe, Terry Meyer also with us on bassoon, Emily Kroner is the horn player, and Hylas on violin, Gian Kim Schleicher on viola, Amy Flores on cello. No, Gian didn't play in this piece?
No, Ann Hylas didn't.
Ann didn't.
There's no violin.
I knew I counted 9 instruments here, so no violin, never mind about Ann.
Is there Ann?
And
violin?
Yeah.
She played on that piece?
Pardon?
Ann Hylas.
She did play.
Please.
Yeah. But she didn't play in your piece.
Not on my piece.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
no,
then
I thought he mentioned
did
it.
Viola.
I did, but I was given erroneous information. And then Margaret Briskin on bass.
Yes.
Okay, it's called As a Woman Thinketh, music by Chris Engberg here on Live and Local. That's music by Christina Engberg called As a Woman Thinketh with soprano Miranda Rowland, flutists Mary Chapman and Amanda Pond, oboist Sonny Chu, bassoonist Terry Marr, horn player Emily Kroner, violist Gian Kim Schleicher, cellist Amy Flores, and bassist Margaret Briskin. Are they all members of the Tuesday Morning Musical Club?
All but Miranda.
All but Miranda. And I asked that partly because I was at the one and only meeting I ever attended, which was just last month, I think. I know there were a couple of guests on that occasion. What are the occasions when guests might perform?
The Christmas program. Oh, perform.
Yeah.
It's often when we need a certain instrument. And it happens that at least two of the three guests on that program are becoming new members. It acted as an audition for them in being able to play on a program. And they were voted in and will be members as of this time and on.
The next meeting. You mentioned audition, the requirement to audition a number of times now. Did it used to be different? The audition process different than what it is now? I mean, if you just come and play now at a performance.
Well, it's audition plus you have to have two letters of recommendation from from members.
It used to be quite different. They used to have formal auditions, and later on they decided that if a person such as a faculty member played in a concert, that would count as an audition, or if a person had experience playing, that would, it varies according to the circumstance, but they would accept outside performances as an audition.
So there are occasions where somebody might come in with credentials that you could call impeccable, where
yes,
an audition would seem superfluous.
No, they have to have letters from two people
yeah.
saying, recommending them.
Is it tough to get... to get in?
We have to play well.
We haven't had many people refused. But the board does have to meet after mm-hmm. they hear them play, and it has to be 10 members of the board.
Who say?
They can be blackballed by just one person, I think. So.
But surely that doesn't happen with any regularity.
Not at all.
Especially if one of the purposes of the club is to for the musical improvement of its members.
True.
So if they were too good, what could they possibly learn from the club? Right? Tuesday Morning Musical Club, based in Champaign-Urbana, is 100 years old this coming October. Is this a unique club, as far as you know? I mean, are there other clubs with this similar purpose across the country? This is not one this is not a chapter of a larger...
No.
Organization.
Yeah, one of our members, Ann Hylas, did a little bit of research on the history of women's music clubs and, you know, how we fit into that. And it seems like around the end of the 1880s, there was this huge profusion of musical clubs of all sorts, especially women's musical clubs. And they often were the organizations that were responsible for the founding of big symphony orchestras and concert series and things like that. There are a lot of them called Tuesday Morning Musical Clubs across the country, I found. It must have been a popular day for musical clubs. But I talked to the head of the Champaign County Archives, Anka Voss, and she said that at least here, and as far as she knows, a club like ours where it's not a social club, it's a club that's by audition only, was extremely rare, especially in 1914. So... in that way, we're unique, at least in this town, and we're different from most of the others that I was able to find.
But if you do find, as I did when I Googled this, and found well, there are a few others with very similar names, that it is coincidence, at least as far as a direct any kind of direct link to this organization.
Yeah, and the only direct link to another club is that one of our founders, Harriet Blair Ward, when she was on the faculty of the University of Nebraska, happened to belong to something called the Tuesday Morning Musicale. But it was a different kind of club. They were more get together, talk about music, put on concerts, but not, they themselves didn't necessarily perform. That's really tenuous link, but it makes me wonder if that's how we ended up on Tuesday mornings.
Well, I mean, that may not be a tenuous link. You never know. These things go that way.
But our purpose is different.
Can I chime in for just a minute?
Yeah. This is Joellen Vilbes.
Two previous places I've lived have had similar clubs, but none of them still exist. So the other unique thing is that this has been here for 100 years, which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Occurring, according to the archives, recognized as the longest continually operated women's music organization in Central Illinois and possibly the country. One of those things you can't necessarily prove, perhaps. But it sounds pretty good anyway, and longevity is important. We've got some music by Telemann next to be played by three members of the club in the room. Amanda Pond is the flutist. Sun Young Gemma Shin is the violinist, and Lois Palin, the cellist. This is a trio sonata in A minor. We're going to play the last couple of movements, I think. Is this one that you have performed at one of the club's meetings?
We did. We performed it in March with a different cellist, Amy Flores, who was unavailable today. So Lois has agreed to help us out, which we appreciate.
And we'll be also performing this tomorrow morning.
On the spring guest program. So you can, and they'll play the whole work at that time.
Right. And today I think we're playing first and the last movement.
That's correct.
Oh, first and last. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Couple of movements from a trio sonata in A minor by Georg Philipp Telemann. We heard the first and last of that particular sonata, played here by flutist Amanda Pond, violinist Sun-Young Gemma Shin, and cellist Lois Palin, all of the members of the Tuesday Morning Musical Club in Champaign-Urbana. Live in our studio here on Live and Local, they're going to be hosting their annual Spring Guest Program at Clark Lindsay Village in Urbana tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, which is their usual meeting time. And by spring guests, that means that guests are welcome at the program. I'd asked earlier what that meant exactly, because I was thinking perhaps you had guest performers come in on that one. But guests are welcome to come in and hear what's going on. I hope that I can assume correctly that Amanda and Sun-Young, you're the youngest members in this room. What drew you to the club, and why is it important for you to be in it?
Initially for me, and actually this has remained true, is that I was really looking for a place to perform chamber music. I mean, I had just finished grad school, and I was doing a lot of orchestral work, but short of putting together an entire recital by myself, you know, which takes a lot of time and effort, I was missing the opportunity to play chamber music. And so this is a great way to put one or two pieces together and to collaborate with people, sometimes over a short length of time, but sometimes over weeks or months, depending how significant the piece is. And so it's actually just a great outlet to perform. I mean, for me, I really, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Sun-Young?
Well, I've been in town for some time. I came as a doctoral student, and I was gone for a job, and then came back in. Before I left for a job, I had a graduate quartet that I rehearsed 3 hours every day for about 3 years. And when I moved back, I realized one day that I really need to start performing again, not only just as an orchestra player, and not only just teach at home with my students. And I found it really important that the more I perform, the better teacher I could be, and I could give them a better information and better little tricks on how to execute certain techniques. And then I became more friendly with Amy Flores, Jian Schleicher, and Amanda Pond here, and I've known a lot of ladies already in the club that when they asked me this year, I just, one day it just hit me that I was like, yes, I want to be in it. And then they were very grateful to accept me. The audition was quite nerve-wracking for me, actually. I had to play Handel Harbison violin viola duo. And also, I think I played one of the quartets. It was a piano? Which
Mozart,
piece?
Flute quartet.
Yes, flute quartet. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, so to jump between the Handel Harbison to Mozart Flute Quartet, and it had been so long that I was so exposed as an individual player in such a cozy, small, very inviting, but at the same time, very exposed setting that ever since then, and they've given me a lot of opportunities to perform. That's so right. This season, I had to learn Brahms Piano Quartet, Schumann Piano Quartet, mm-hmm. and this Telemann piece, and the Mozart Quartet.
And a piece we're going to hear coming up, a new one.
Arnstein. A little bit. Yeah, and then we also had done one or two more, and this had been the most repertoire list that I had ever learned in such a short time period. So I'm really enjoying it very much, and I appreciate the opportunity. So that's the big benefit. And of course, all the ladies are very wonderful. Mm.
Does everybody in the club still perform at the meetings?
No, we have non-active members, of which I'm part. You get to the point where public performance is much more difficult as you get older, and I wouldn't like to inflict my mistakes on other people. But the non-active members do a lot of support. They provide homes, pianos tuned, ready for the performance. They help with the refreshments and the social occasions when we have celebrate Founders Day or something like that.
And the meetings take place generally in people's homes?
Yes.
Yes.
I know the one that I went to was at the home of Lois Palin. It has always been a women's club. It doesn't say Tuesday morning women's musical club, but it always has been, except nearly wasn't once, I understand.
Twice.
And
well, yeah.
Is this a delicate subject?
Yes, it is. Twice in the 1980s, there was an attempt to admit men, and both times it was voted down. And just during this past 100th year season, the subject came up again, and it was decided to wait until after our 100th anniversary celebration in this coming October. So after that, it's supposed to be brought up again.
It may not happen again, but it's supposed to be brought up again.
Well, but there was a very rigorous process that the club went through both times to hold a vote. We follow Robert's Rules of Order very carefully, and so there were, it was discussed. There were two votes. It was counted. It was a secret ballot, the whole bit. So it wasn't done lightly, put it that way.
But men can occasionally show up at the meetings. No one kicked me out, for example.
Oh, men can come as guests. Men can play as guests. They just haven't been admitted as members.
As members, whether you audition successfully or not. You won't be allowed to audition. Yeah.
That's true.
We have a reminder that we're talking to a number of members of the Tuesday Morning Musical Club based in Champaign-Urbana. They have their spring guest program tomorrow morning, and we're having some live performances. So the next of which is another pianist, Joellen de Vilbiss. Some music by Edvard Grieg, I understand?
Yeah, and I might just, talking about what people enjoy in the club, one of the things that I find particularly interesting to do, and I think a number of people do. Terry mentioned having themes earlier. We don't do themes, and we don't do a lot of speaking, but very often people have found something and they'll share with information, and that's how I happened to come across these. I had found a piece this year, again, kind of like Chris, ran across some music that belonged to my grandmother that happened to be published the same year that the club had been founded, so I wanted to share that with them. It's a piece by Percy Grainger, which recognizes this. Well, in trying to find something to play with it, I discovered that piece had actually been dedicated to Grieg, and they had had a relationship, friendly relationship during the times, and he was impressed with Grieg's folk song suites, sets for piano, which I had heard of as a piano teacher, but I didn't really know, so I looked at him, and that's how I came across these two.
Both of which are songs of something or another.
Yes.
What's the order in which you're going to do them here?
The Song of the Alpine Cowherd. I won't attempt to pronounce the Norwegian, which
that's
it
okay.
is in the
I
book.
Couldn't help you either.
And Song of the Suitor. So here you go.
Thank you. about four measures to resolve the court at the end. It's kind of fun. Which there was a lot of that in the Percy Grainger piece as well. Yeah, let's put this up here.
Do those come from the sets of lyric pieces?
No, that's a different set. They're just Norwegian folk songs. And apparently Percy Grainger was so impressed with the fact that he had taken folk songs that he went around the British Isles and found a number of them.
Some of his own. These are from Edvard Grieg's collection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Song of the Alpine Cowherd, almost said goat herd. That would be from... Sound of Music, I think. And then Song of the Suitor, Joellen de Vilbis playing here on Live and Local. Member of the Tuesday Morning Musical Club. According to the original purpose, to advance the interests and promote the culture of musical arts in the community as well as the mutual improvement of its members, what are some of the things that the club has done over the years to promote music in the community? A lot, I understand.
A lot.
Terry has a whole raft of
I gave a large collection of CDs of the Baroque period to the university library when it was very, very hard for the people who were teaching musicology to cope with the disc records and the scratches and noises from the old LPs. So now they have a large collection of CDs, thanks to the Julia Little Fund of the
UCLA. To get that started. Mm-hmm.
Well, you were asking earlier what things have changed in this club. There used to be an awful lot of singers in this club, and there aren't any more. But one of our charter members named Edna Morey, who is the wife of the longtime university controller, and then he was a president for 2 years, from 1923 to 1955, she ran a Christmas carol program that was held annually at the Wesley Foundation Church. It was... at first, just members of the club singing, but then it became a chorus of about 30 to 50 women from all over the community, and it was always sponsored by Tuesday Morning Musical Club. And it would attract as many as 500 people to a performance, and of course the newspapers would write this up every year. WYLL broadcast it for the first time in 1932, and then for several years in the row in the late 40s into the early 50s. It ended in 1955 when Mrs. Morey became, I believe they had to move to Springfield because her husband was hired to do something or other. But anyway, she left the community for a year or two and then came back. So that was a big annual Christmas event. From 1924 to 1963, we sponsored a junior music club for junior high and high school students for which they had to audition. It ended in the 60s when schools started to have school orchestra programs, and then, of course, it evolved into the youth orchestra. We've given scholarships to students over the years. We used to purchase a lot of choral music, and Lloyd Morey, Mrs. Morey's husband, wrote a lot of original Christmas carols and things like that, and we ended up with a large collection of choral music, apparently five file drawers full. And in 1978, the club decided to donate it to Willie Somerville, who was at the time at the Brookins Junior High School, it was called. And that was a pretty valuable donation. I read someplace in the minutes that it was valued at about $1,000 at the time. So that's in the past. And right now, out of our 31 active members. 14 of us are performing members of 8 professional regional orchestras. Mm. So you hear us all the time if you go to the Danville Symphony, the Eastern Symphony, the Decatur Millican Symphony, the Heartland Festival Orchestra in Peoria, Peoria Symphony, Sinfonia de Camera, the Prairie Ensemble, or the Champaign-Urbana Symphony. Members have included the first manager of the Champaign County Youth Orchestra, a founder of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Guild. Chris Engberg just won an award from Parkland College, where she teaches, for being the part-time faculty award, you know, for the year. Joellen DeVilbis runs the Central Illinois Academy Conservatory of Central Illinois. Two of us were founding members of the Heartland Festival Orchestra. The list goes on and on. So over the 100 years, not just in the past, but right now, all of us don't just come and play, but we are actively involved in promoting music in Champaign-Urbana and throughout Central Illinois.
That's Voice of Terry Meyer. Thanks for compiling all that info. I saw she's got pages of info on this group. And the Tuesday Morning Musical Club will give its annual spring guest program tomorrow at the regular meeting time, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at Clark Lindsay Village in Urbana in the first floor lounge. And you can just show up and enjoy some of the live performances that they will be giving at tomorrow's meeting. And I want to say thanks to all the members who've come and join us on today's program: Lois Gullerud, who's the current president of the organization, Len Rose Jael, Terry Meyer, Karen, Amanda Pond, sorry, I don't know why I'm going to call you Karen, Lois Palin, I'm not looking at a list, I'm looking at faces, and then forgetting Sun Young Shin and Chris Engberg and Joellen DeVilbis. Thanks very much for coming in. Our programs today are made possible with the support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. And this is 90.9 WILL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And we're going to go out with a music that was written by the son of one of their members. The member is Charlotte Arnstein. The son is Peter Arnstein, and he wrote a piece called The Classical Sextet, which was played in its premiere performance at their most recent meeting. And this is a recording of that performance involving Sun Young Shin, violinist Amanda Ramey, violist Jeon Kim Schleicher, cellist Kirsten Lansdowne, clarinetist Ann Durvin, and pianist Sarah Schwartz. This will take us out, the first movement of the Classical Sextet by Peter Arnstein. Thanks all for joining us on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.